Auctions, auctions, auctions. You want auction strategy? And we've got it for you on this podcast. Wednesday, August 13th. If you don't do auctions, this podcast will still help you. I promise. We're just going to talk about some players, players we like, what kind of value you can get for them. We're going to read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line. And follow us on Twitter at CBS Fantasy FB, at Dave Richard, singular, at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, and at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. And Jamie, while we were talking while you were out of the room, off the air, we agreed, without even discussing it, if you were an ice cream flavor, you would be pralines and cream, because you're very nice and sweet.
Interesting.
Yeah. Dave, you'd be what?
I would be triple chocolate chunk with, like, cookie dough.
That's much more
top.
Fun.
And I would be what? Something we decided
it would be
something
fun.
Polarizing.
It's just heavy. Like, what's the most polarizing flavor of ice cream you can think
Bubble
of?
Bubblegum.
That's what I said. Oh, that is weird. Okay, well, there you go. Everybody,
I was not thinking about you guys and ice cream when I was in the bathroom.
You were just one
I
of
hope
the two.
Not.
Okay.
Although I think about ice cream in the bathroom.
So we did an auction on Monday, and we did an auction in the best way you can do an auction. And if you're unfamiliar with it, you know, a snake draft, you know what that is. You draft 1 through 12, 1 through 10, whatever.
Everybody gets a turn.
And then you go reverse order the way back. In an auction, there is no order. I mean, there's an order in how you nominate players, but that's it. You bid on players with a fictional amount of money. For us, it was a $100 budget. You know, for example, would Peyton Manning go for what, $22?
Yes.
LeSean McCoy went for $35 or $36, but everybody gets to bid. You can get any player you want as long as you can fit it in your budget. It's a very fair way to draft, and I think it's the most fun, but it does take a while. But we did it. You can do it on the computer on CBSSports.com. Everybody got in one room, though, for us, and we had Dave as our auctioneer.
Thank you.
And Dave's players went?
Yeah, right?
No, I tried to keep it fair, and let everybody who's listening decide. So, like, if Jamie was bidding on a guy, name a player you got.
Eddie Lacy.
Going once, going twice, sold.
I think you were even slower than that.
And then for me, it was Nick Foles going once, twice, sold. I mean, very fair, very even across the board.
But no, obviously there's a lot more time. I hear $5 on Eddie Lacy. 12, I hear 12. 18, you know, and then it would get up to, what, 22 or 25, whatever Jamie took. 26, I think.
26.
And then you're sold. So we'll talk about that in a little bit.
That would be the fourth most spent on a player in our $100 auction.
And really?
Mm-hmm.
How much did Calvin go for?
25.
So then,
go ahead and ask how much did Jimmy go for?
No.
Oh, you already know that.
Jimmy went for 22.
25.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
And Gronk went for 19?
Uh-huh.
And Thomas for 18. Anyway.
Now you're spoiling it for everybody.
Just a few things. Watch fantasy football today, Tuesdays and Wednesdays for now. Of course, during the season, we'll have 5 shows a week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. And actually 2 shows on Sunday. We are on the radio live, CBS Sports Radio, from 10 p.m. Eastern time to midnight every Saturday, starting this upcoming Saturday. You can get a mobile app with the CBS Radio mobile app.
If you go into your app store and look for radio.com, that's the branch of all of CBS Radio's stations, sports and otherwise. So not only can you listen to any of the great stations that CBS owns throughout the country, you can also listen to CBS Sports Radio wherever you are, totally free. And it comes in perfectly. It's great.
You are a lot better at promos than I am.
Now, also,
that wasn't a promo. That was a compliment to the radio.com people.
If they know the affiliate, if they live in a place that is CBS affiliate, they can also listen on those respective websites.
Of course. Right? Of course.
Okay. And
the best thing, though, about it, Adam, it's actually going to be like a podcast. 2-hour podcast, right?
Yeah,
that's but they can call in live.
That's right. You can call in.
That is
really
the best. Or tweet
you.
In live for 2 hours. It's going
to
be awesome.
And come to our CBSSports.com fantasy draft party in Foxborough August 23rd. Go to CBSSports.com/fantasy party for more.
In Pittsburgh, we've got one this weekend, this Sunday, hosted by 93.7 The Fan. You can go to 97.7. See, here I am, bad promo guy. 93.7 The Fan's website. For more information, I'll see you in Pittsburgh on Sunday.
And we have a podcast league player. We are all done, and we'll announce that in a second. Nick Melanson from New Hampshire. Dear Chad, Brian, and Randy.
There it is.
Okay, so what was it? What was the answer?
I know the answer because I came up with the question.
The answer was Chad Johnson. Brian Westbrook.
It's coming around. Westbrook.
And Randy Cross.
That was a Freudian slip if I ever heard one. You said breast.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you were about to.
Oh. And Randy Cross, three former Fantasy Football Today analysts on our Sunday show. What is your take on pairing up a wide receiver and a quarterback from the same team?
Depends on the team. If it's one of these teams that we expect to be a potent, high-powered offense, then I'm all for it.
Does it make any difference to you? Do you want or not want? Like, if you're going to – I know I'm going wide receiver here, and I've already got – well, that's a bad example. I know I'm going quarterback here, and I've already got Jordy Nelson, so I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers instead of Drew Brees. Or do you just not care at all? Like, just take the best player if he's on the same team, whatever.
I tend to not care so long as it's, you know, one of the great offenses. You're talking about Green Bay or New Orleans, fine with it.
Right.
I think Dallas, if you've got Romo and Dez, I think you're off to the races.
But if you have Dez and you're deciding between Romo and whoever, Luck, you're not going to pick Romo because you have Dez. Like, you don't
care. Some people do, some people don't.
Do you?
I pick the guy who I have ranked higher, which would be Luck. So
right.
I would, if I like Luck better, I would do that. There are a lot of instances where it'll happen. The ones where it won't likely happen, just based on average draft position, you won't be able to get Peyton and Demaryius.
Yeah.
Most likely.
But you get Peyton and
you can.
Another
you,
Broncos.
Well, sure. But I think most people look at it as the elite guy.
Yeah.
You know, the number one receiver.
I just wanted to make the point that it really, it's not something you guys set out to do or not to do. If it happens, it happens.
Right. And the downside of that would be now you're really hurting your bye week.
Sure. Josh from Dedham, Massachusetts. Dear Stephen, Shane, and James.
I hope both Nick and Josh will be at our event.
Perhaps they will.
Oh, Nick, right. Oh, yeah, sure. Stephen, Shane, and James are Patriots running backs. Is the fantasy party in Foxborough kid-friendly or just for grown-ups?
It'll be kid-friendly.
Well, Adam, are you wearing pants?
I am wearing pants and on long sleeves, too. So nothing that'll scare the
kids. I was told you'd have to wear one of those beanies that has the propeller on top.
I thought a red nose, too.
Fine, bring it on. Yes, bring the kids. Matt P. from Houma, Louisiana. What
did
should
he call
be...
the show?
He
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I think he did. What should be the first round top priority in an 8-team, 2-quarterback PPR league with bonus points for long touchdowns and yardage?
I would say if it's 6 points for passing touchdowns, I'd go quarterback.
I'd say quarterback even if it's 4 points for a passing touchdown.
Really? Still?
Yep.
Chris from Chesterton, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Greetings, Mark, Lex, and Columbus.
I know what it is.
Villains?
Yeah, you better know what it is.
Not villains.
Not villains.
Not villains. Well, one is a villain. One is a villain. One could be construed as a villain, and one is not a villain by any stretch.
Did one of them find America?
No.
I don't know what Columbus is.
Oh.
What's Columbus? From
you
the
lose.
Double?
You lose.
Double?
No.
Oh, it's all characters that Jesse played.
Yes, Columbus is his character in Zombieland.
Really?
And Mark is from
Mark
the
Zuckerberg. Yeah.
Zuckerberg.
All right, week 9 has Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, Green Bay, Tennessee, and Buffalo all on bye. In a lot of my mock drafts, I'm getting more starters with week 9 byes than starters who are not, especially the wide receivers. Very interesting. In fact, all three of Dave's wide receivers in the PPR draft we did the other day.
The first three I took, yeah.
Are all on bye in week 9. What do you do about this? Do you care?
No.
Nah. Week 9 is away from now?
I wouldn't avoid it. So, yeah, that's the best thing you could say is so much. Think about last year, Julio Jones on such that fantastic pace. Oh, no, I'm going to lose in week 9. Well, you lost him for a little bit sooner than that.
Right.
So things are definitely going to happen.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to bye weeks. I think you guys have said if you draft a quarterback, don't draft a backup quarterback with the same bye week.
That would just be a mistake unless you're drafting that player with the intent on trading him and knowing that your league is very active in trades.
Gotcha.
Now, so, I would make note of the week 4 byes because that's earlier. Like, imagine if all these teams were on bye in week 4.
Yes.
Then I might pump the brakes a little bit and... what I'm doing.
Do you ever take the stance that, oh, I've got all these guys on bye in week 6 or whatever, so I might lose week 6, but I'm going to be stronger than just about every other team during all the other bye week, all the other weeks that I buy.
Oh, you are you?
I don't know. I mean, can you?
Well, you might lose some other games along the way, and then by the way, in week 6, you're done. So I don't ever like that strategy.
Right. I wouldn't want to lose
a week
on
purpose. It's not like you're guaranteed.
Purpose.
Right. And it's not like you're guaranteed to win weeks 1 through 5, and then you're 5-0 going into week 6 and you have nobody on your team.
Can I just say that not only does Chris have great taste in movies, he has a great question that caused us to have a good
session. You know what? I think we do need to make a point about week 4. The week 4 buys Cardinals, Bengals, Browns, Broncos, Seahawks, Rams. I mean, just imagine if you ended up with Peyton Manning and A.J. Green and
I don't think I'm going to draft my team thinking about my week 4. I don't know. But that's a good point. Okay, if A.J. Green and Julio Jones are both sitting there and you have to choose between one and you drafted Peyton Manning in the first round, and we would never tell you to go quarterback, wide receiver, by the way, maybe you do avoid the week 4 bye there. Would you agree with that?
Ball and Green.
Okay, fine. Yeah, it's Monte Ball and you go Julio Jones instead of A.J. Green. Is that fair?
It's again, you know, when you're talking about those particular players, it's nitpicking on who's going to be better than the other.
Sure, right.
Right. So then, yes, you can certainly make that a consideration.
It's really weird because in weeks 5, 6, 7, and 8 as well, let me see, there's only 2 teams on bye.
Mm. A lot of weird facial expressions from you along the way there.
Did you like them?
Yeah, double, triple, chocolate fudge facial expressions.
You'll be able to see those expressions on CBS Sports Radio every weekend.
we'll hear them on our video shows during the week.
All right, we have some injuries news and notes to get to, and then we'll auction review and read some more emails later. Jeremy Maclin left Tuesday's practice with a tight hamstring. Nothing that's going to really affect his draft status right now.
Wouldn't that be Wednesday's practice?
Is today Wednesday?
Yes. Today's Wednesday. You say so at the beginning of every podcast.
Then he left Wednesday's practice.
Walking calendar boy.
Houston got Brian Cushing.
Well, you know what he does. He has the whole calendar shaved into his chest.
That's very funny. Houston got Brian Cushing.
It's always hair day.
Oh, Ethan's going to have fun with that one.
Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, they're all back.
I bet they know what day it is.
I'm sure they do.
It's hamstring day.
Okay, so not funny.
The hamstring day was very clever.
Arian Foster and Andre Johnson are back.
That's good.
We'll see how long they stay on the field.
Do you want to draft Arian Foster?
Right after Ryan Fitzpatrick. Foster, I think he's still worth the gamble in round 2.
I do too.
Doug Martin or Arian Foster?
Foster.
I would take Foster.
Andre Johnson or Pierre Garçon?
Johnson.
Johnson.
Andre Johnson or Crabtree?
I was hoping you'd say that because I just made a change in my rankings to reflect this. Jamie just said Crabtree. I agree.
In both PPR and standard?
This is another guy, though. Is he back in practice? Only Crabtree's back in practice.
Not yet, but I still feel better about him than Johnson.
I do, too.
And Denver linebacker Danny Trevathan is out 6 to 8 weeks with a fractured knee. That's a big loss for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Denver was the number 13 DST in fantasy last year. I see them get drafted in our mocks.
Right. They added so much talent during the offseason.
But this hurts, and especially if Von Miller's not ready for week 1.
That's two big pieces. You know they're going to give up points just because I would guess. I'll look it up without speaking out of my butt, but I feel like time of possession is not going to be in their favor necessarily because Denver's going to score a lot of points and that defense is going to be on the field.
But this is something, though, that if their defense is better, I think it's a knock against the offense knock against the passing game because they can run the ball and sit on leads. They didn't really have that last year because they were in closer games, especially second half of the season, than I think a lot of people realize.
And let's send a congratulations to Anthony Bartolucci for joining us in the podcast league by getting that trivia question right. And for a while, I thought nobody was going to get it right. So we got so many people who thought they were Marshall football players, the band The Guess Who.
Right.
We got some actually really funny ones. I'm trying to find some of the better
ones. A lot of Patriots receiver guesses.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of people thought it was Randy Moss.
Because of
sure.
Chad. Chad was the one constant. There were a few people that got Chad and Brian.
Oh, one person thought it was Chad from, what band is that? Oh, Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, Brian Adams, and one other, and I don't know who Randy was, but there were some really funny guesses. I promise they were funny.
I'm laughing on the inside.
Didn't you think it was funny?
Well, it's no hamstring day, but.
Hamstring day was good.
I'm trying to find, whatever. All right, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Can we talk about football now?
I still care, kind of. But yeah, we can. Hey, listen, if
and
you
and that when I went to really go to the bathroom, I stole your wallet.
No, you didn't. It's right next to me. Hey, if you like us and you like our show, don't be afraid to go to iTunes and give us a good review. We'd appreciate it. Now,
I'd also like it if everybody would tell their friends who play fantasy but not in their leagues about our
podcast. Our show. Yeah,
yeah. Don't tell people in your league. We get that.
All right, auction review. What do you guys want to tell people in order to help them win their auction?
Well, I mean, we could talk about the strategies that you just took. That
yeah, but I want you to give me something big to open up the discussion with, something impactful.
There might be people who panic at the thought of an auction because, oh, my God, I've got to get the players on my team and I can't let them slip past and, you know, I got to bid them up. You can chill at an auction, and Jamie's strategy will really speak to just how much you can chill. Having a game plan to go along with that, along with being a patient drafter or auctionee, whatever the word is that I'm supposed to say here.
Auction mm-hmm. participant.
I think it's important. I think it's to go in with some tiers. You know, we do tiers here for every position. You could do the same. And then you can just kind of scratch each name off, and then you've got an idea of what players in each tier are going for. And when there's one or two names left in the tier, you have a pretty good understanding of what a good value is for them. And if you want them, you can add them to your fantasy team.
So should we run down our teams? Would that be helpful?
We will in a second. Yeah. I just wanted, you know, some... Well, we did a standard scoring 12-team, two running back, two wide receiver, tight end, kicker, defense, flex. Flex could be a running back, wide receiver, or a tight end league.
Or capacitor.
It could be a flex capacitor, sure. I just wanted, you know, some basic auction advice.
Well,
Where are the best values?
I think, you know, there was like three or four people that had, like, you could see their strategy unfold. However, if that was their approach or not, obviously mm-hmm. we talked about mine. To recap, I said I was going to sit out the first 36 picks. You guys talked me into doing 24. And as it unfolded, I saw so many good players still available at great bargains or would expect it to be great bargains. I just went another round of bidding and sat out. I did the 36.
Yeah, and listen, the 36 players, the first 36, that's by no means the 36 best players.
Right.
There were some first round picks in there. There were some DSTs in there. And actually, I wanted to thank you, Dave, because I never even really thought about just nominating the defense I wanted for $1. Nobody's going to pay two unless
no
it's
one will
the
pay
Seahawks.
Two.
So I said Cardinals defense, $1. I got them. That was my first nomination. If you do the Seahawks defense, be prepared. You probably want to bid $2 out of 100, because if you bid one, somebody's going to bid two, and then if you want them, you're going to have to go three.
Yeah, a little bit of strategery in how you nominate players and the bids that go with them.
Whereas if you start with two, you probably get them, and if someone goes three, then you might say, have them for three.
Right. You could save that extra buck for someone else. And one other point, I said don't panic, but and there's an example of this in my draft. If you have to spend one more dollar to get the player you really want, I don't care what our rankings say. I don't care what our projections for what a player should go for say. Man, if the player you want is there and you know that one more dollar is going to get him, bid the extra dollar.
That's just a guide. It's not a hard, fast
right.
number.
Yeah.
You'll actually find that a lot of the players go below our values in our rankings.
Now, in baseball, I know we say spend a lot of your money on hitting, and you can get good value with like $1 pitchers. What about in football? Is there a guideline, spend a lot of your money here and get the good value at this position?
Quarterback and tight end, at least that's what this auction will tell you.
Is the good value?
Was the best value.
And spend your money on running back and receiver?
Well, I don't think you have to, when you say spend, like people think big money. You don't necessarily have to, because there were some good buys at those positions. It's just, I think, and this was my approach or my intent was, I want to just sit out and try and soak up as much of this good value later and have a much more balanced team. And what ended up happening was the minute I jumped in on Eddie Lacy, I was right back in the middle of the pack. So it kind of backfired on me the way that I was expecting it to.
See, I don't think it backfired on you.
No, I still was able to put together what I think is a very good roster.
Mm-hmm.
But what my hope was, if you look at my bench is thin by comparison to what I was wanting it to be. I wanted to have a similar starting lineup, which I don't know if that would have been reasonable or possible. And maybe if you just take Lacy out and it was, which I ended up getting Andre Ellington as well. If it was Ellington and maybe somebody closer to Ellington's range, it's like Sankey went for $10. Mm-hmm. Let's just say those are my running backs, Sankey and Ellington. Now, obviously, my team wouldn't be as good, but my bench probably would have been better. Like, I may have gotten Reuben Randle or Kyrie Robinson. I know those are two guys. I'm just throwing them out there because you just threw all the rest of your money at those two guys.
But, I did.
But Terrence Williams was somebody who went. Bernard Pierce was somebody who went. Terrence West was some, you know, these are guys that I may have been able to get as opposed to Mark Ingram and Chris Ivory.
Right. Yeah, so don't impose a limit on yourself of I'm not bidding on the first 36. But it pays to be patient. Okay, yeah, so go ahead. Tell me about your teams and your strategies. Dave, you want to start?
Sure. I wanted to build a balanced team. I didn't want to overpay for anybody. Obviously, you don't want to overpay if you can help it. But I didn't want to spend any more than $20 on any one player. I ended up spending $21 on Dez Bryant because I really wanted him. I wanted to have a stud receiver. And when the bidding came around, I found myself bidding $21 on him, and I got him. And I don't have any complaints about that. But everybody else on my team, I think, went for $15 or less. I got a real steal in Zach Stacy at $13. I actually paid more for Toby Gerhart. I needed a running back. Got great value, I thought, at wide receiver. I got Vincent Jackson and Keenan Allen for $8 each. Now, Jackson for sure is a good value. Allen might be on par with what you want to expect. And because I was able to save just a little bit of money there, I wanted to lock up two players that I knew I wanted. I got Nick Foles for $6, which is an overpay, but it's only by a couple bucks. And Zach Ertz for $5. And I even nominated Ertz for $5. And everyone in the room says, he's yours. We're not going to bid $6 on Zach Ertz. And so
why did you do that? Why wouldn't you just start at $1?
Because I didn't want anybody else to jump in there and have to bid $5 anyway.
He had
and
money. If somebody, he had money at that
I
point.
Also had money, to burn. And at the same time, if I get into a bidding war, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, well, maybe the guy that bids $4 bids $6. After all, my advice is don't let a guy get away for $1. And then I've got to justify spending $7 on Zach Ertz.
That's one of the things I think, and not to interrupt you, but that's one of the things I think that's a benefit when you do have money toward the end, because when people are looking, okay, I want this guy for $1, I want this guy for $2. He says his bid is $5, and a lot of people just, okay, maybe I want a Zach Ertz for $3. I'm not even going to try to get him for $6. You know, it just kind of, it's like a bully tactic. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase
it.
But
it's
kind of like, I did something similar to, I didn't like it when I said it, but I did it with Greg Olsen. When I needed a tight end at that point, and I said, Greg Olsen, $3, and nobody said anything. And it probably could. And after I said it, I was like, I probably could have gotten for $1.
You might have been able to get him for $2. I don't know if if you bid $1, I think someone might bid $2.
No, I understand that, but it was just is there really that much of a difference between $3 and $1? No, but it just, like, I knew if I said $1, somebody says $2, I say $3, maybe it's done.
Okay,
but maybe if I say $1, it's over.
Well,
at that point,
but kind of to that end about just how you budget your money, I found myself at the end of our auction with 2 roster spots left and $15 to burn.
And no stud players left.
And, well, the best players that were left were Kyrie Robinson and Reuben Randle. So
yeah,
I ate them up.
You didn't have that one particular guy.
Right, it's not like somebody slipped through the nomination
crack. Like Antonio Brown went very late.
He was nominated late, yes.
He was the best one easily. That was last on the – maybe Jordan Cameron.
I think Reggie Bush was fairly late, too.
Reggie Bush was late, too.
Yeah.
All right, but so, like, one of my regrets was after I got Zach Stacy, I was hoping to get Alfred Morris. So – When Alf started getting bid higher and higher, my max bid at the time was 17. I bid 17. He blew right past 17 into 18, 19, 20. It makes me wish I still had some of that money left over that I spent on Gerhart so that I could go and get Alfred Morris.
Mm. I'm surprised, just looking at it, you like Julio better than Dez still, right?
Yes.
Then why did you go 21 on Dez and not 21 on Julio, who went for the same price?
Because... did they? Do you remember the nomination
order? I don't.
Order?
That's
you know what?
Question.
Let me take a look and see, because I definitely have it. Pardon me, everybody.
I mean, I'm sure that's the answer, is that Julio probably won.
Dez went ahead of Julio by 3 nominations. So Dez was the 27th player.
Not...
No, because I didn't know what Julio was going to end up going for. The thing I regret is, okay, Calvin was pretty much the first receiver nominated. He was the 10th player nominated. Mm-hmm. And then Demarius went 7 nominations later, and he went for $20. And then when Dez comes up, 27th nomination, I knew that he'd go for at least 20. I bid 21. It's more than Demaryius Thomas. My regret is that I didn't get Demaryius Thomas for 21 or 22.
Right.
But the difference between Demaryius and Dez to me is so slim that it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Dez to Julio. It doesn't even matter.
It's funny because the way that your team worked out, and obviously you got a lot of good minimal buys on your backup players, but there's probably, you know, especially since you have the order in front of you, you could probably go back through and say, okay, I wish I had the 15 from Kyrie and Randall.
Oh, that's what I was saying about getting Alfred Morris. At
particular
least.
Spots. Yeah, I'm sure you could do it with a lot of guys.
Of course.
You
know? All right, Dave. So what
I wish I could do it at quarterback so I could spend less and get Tom Brady. Foles going for six was probably one of the bigger overpays in our auction.
Yeah, Brady went for four. Matt Ryan went for five.
RG3 for five.
Cam for five.
Cutler for four.
Luck for five.
Rivers for two. Dalton for right. one. Palmer for one. Big Ben
Kaepernick
for one.
Kaepernick for eight was an overspin.
Yeah, big time. But you knew when Kaepernick went for eight, when Cam Newton went for five, you could tell the people who got him really wanted those guys.
Right. Just they like I wanted Foles for six.
So overpays, in our opinions, but those guys were aggressive. It's like it was sometimes it's like you can just tell people really want a guy and they bid aggressively. All right, Dave, your team, sir.
Foles at quarterback, $6. Carson Palmer for $1. So if Foles does break down, at least I've got Palmer, who I think is a big sleeper this year. My running backs are Toby Gerhart for 15, Zach Stacy for 13. Kyrie Robinson was one of my last bids, and I had a lot of money, so he actually went for $8. I'd probably expect him to go for about $5 less than that, maybe even more, even fewer than that in your auction. Carlos Hyde, $3. Danny Woodhead, $2. Charles Sims for $1. Wide receivers, Dez, we talked about him, for $21. Vincent Jackson, Keenan Allen, $8 each. Reuben Randle, same boat as Kyrie Robinson. Overspent on him because I had the money. He went for $7. That's it for my wide receivers. Ertz is my tight end for $5. Phil Dawson is my kicker for $1. And I got the Patriots DST for $1.
That's a good team right there. All right, Jamie, how did your wait-and-see team turn out?
Yeah, it was like I said, once I jumped in on Lacey, it kind of put me right back in the middle of everything. And so I didn't like the way my bench ended up. But it was a couple of handcuffs in there, too. So it was Matt Ryan for $5 at quarterback, Lacy for $26 at running back, Andre Ellington for $14. No surprise there that I got Andre Ellington.
Wow, so you have Lacy and Ellington at running back.
I don't know who my third running back is, if you can remind
Mark,
me.
Well, you've got a bunch of
I
third running backs.
Ingram
back.
For $1. I think
and
Ivory
Chris
went
Ivory
for
$1. And then you backed up Lacy and Ellington for $1 each.
Right, Starks and Taylor. Those are my only running backs, correct?
Yeah, that's it. You want to see your team?
That's
okay. That I remember. The rest I remember. So Jordy Nelson's one wide receiver at $17. Alshon Jeffery is another one, I believe, at $14.
I thought that was a very good value, by the way.
Thank you. Emmanuel Sanders, which I think I overpaid for at $7.
That's not an overpay for that guy. He's going to be good.
Yeah, but I think he's in – whatever you think of him, he's in the same range as Golden Tate. And Tate went for $4.
Well, Tate happened to be one of the best bargains. Like, he went for the same amount as Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton.
Right.
And less than Kendall Wright and Edelman and Mack. Like, right. Tate was a great bargain. I don't think you can beat yourself up for paying $7 on Sanders.
Yeah, but I could have gotten Tate for $5 as opposed to Sanders for $7.
I also think you'll see the Broncos players go for more than normal because it's the Broncos.
Well, what happened with Sanders was I actually stepped away from the auction for a minute. And when I came back in, it was kind of like I sat down and I heard Sanders at $5 or $4, and I think I said $5. And at that point, I was like, I'm committed to it for whatever reason. Like, it just that was my mentality.
Pot committed.
Yeah, I guess so. I got good buys on.
That's a poker term. Yeah. Not a pot term.
I got
just
good buys.
A gardening term.
I'm sorry. So Sanders for $7. Decker for $3 or $4?
Three.
$3 for Decker. That was just one of those spending money at the end. But it's a good buy. And I
your
think
tight ends are interesting.
And then I got Olsen first at $3. And then Jordan Cameron was another one. I had money sitting there. So I took Jordan Cameron. He was one of the later guys on there for $5. I think our audience is well aware I'm not sold on Jordan Cameron on his average draft position, but at a good buy in an auction, I'll take that. And I would take Cameron in my draft, a snake draft, with a late-round pick too. So those are my tight ends, and then I had the Rams DST for $1 and Gostkowski for $1.
Yeah, look, you got to be patient, but at the same time, you can't walk away with no studs. It's unless it's a really deep league where you just have a very balanced roster, you need to make sure you get. I mean, I go in there, I want to get a first round pick, maybe 2 second round picks, something like that, and then get some good bargains with like the guys that are usually like fourth or fifth round picks. But none of us are going to say be patient to the point where you don't spend big on anyone. You're going to have to spend big on someone.
Well, like Hercom, do you have his team?
Sure.
Herc had the philosophy that I wanted to take. But he was too passive for my taste.
He just kept waiting and waiting and waiting to win players.
Read it.
Well, listen, it's going to start off really good and then let everybody else decide just how good it is. Drew Brees for $16. I think that's a fair value in a $100 budget, 12
Payton,
teams.
Yeah, Payton went for 22.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, $21. Alfred Morris, $20. Shane Vereen, $10. Dexter McCluster, $2. Darren McFadden, he lit a dollar on fire.
No.
Wide receiver, DeSean Jackson for $8. Marcus Colston for $6. DeAndre Hopkins for $3. Jordan Matthews for $3. Thought that was a little much. That was an example of a guy saying Jordan Matthews a dollar. Somebody else says two. And then Herc had to spend three because that's who he wanted to get. Reggie Wayne, $2. Wayne going for less than Jordan Matthews. Figure that one out. Marcus Wheaton for $1. Ladarius Green for $5. Which
that was one of those. He's got money and he's going to outbuy.
I think so too. And then Dan Bailey and the Saints D.
But like there was one situation with him where I believe it was Terrence Williams where he might have even nominated him. And it was toward the end. And I think it was somebody else that also had money, but he had more.
Yeah, he could have had Terrence Williams.
He could have had Terrence.
And
again, not
money.
That Terrence Williams is in the stud category, but there's a couple of guys there specifically at the receiver spot where he could have probably taken the $3 from Matthews and maybe the $5 from Green, got a cheaper tight end. Like I got Greg Olsen for $3. Mm-hmm. So let's just say he could have gotten Olsen for $4 and maybe packaged some of that money elsewhere to improve his receiving core, which I think is a little weak.
Terrence Williams went for $12.
Right, but that, again, that's somebody who just had money at the end to burn.
That was
so.
A max bid.
I bid $12 Terrence Williams, and my team's done. So you know, it's over.
Yeah, Herc's – look, I mean, Drew Brees plus Alvin
it's a good team,
and
but
Le'Veon Bell.
He didn't
a great
steal
start.
And Green. He didn't
Green,
steal
yeah.
anybody.
No, and the wide receivers are
– meh.
He needs the wide receivers to hit. He could win with that team, I guess.
He could. And his strategy, said afterwards, was I wanted two stud running backs and a stud quarterback. That's what he wanted.
Then he got it. And given that, I think he did pretty well. I don't love having the Darius Green without having any other tight ends.
No, but he can go on the waiver wire and find somebody if it comes
Heath
to that.
Heath Miller's available. I know that for a fact. Heath Miller's available. So
now,
you can pair those two.
There's another owner that wanted two good running backs and a quarterback and took it to even more of an extreme than Herc did.
Okay.
And I think it's worth kind of going over his team. It's our boss, Peter Madden, who kind of laid back a little bit and didn't spend any money early on in the auction. And then LeSean McCoy went up for bid. And he got him for $36. He spent over $70 of his budget on three players: LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of dough on three guys, and then he went cheap on everybody else. $5 or less on Andre Williams was $4.
Wait, so I'm sorry. So it's McCoy
for $36.
Peterson.
AP went for $26, which actually I think is a really good deal.
And Rodgers.
And Aaron Rodgers at $16, same as Breeze.
And Herc's top three are Morris, Bell, and Breeze.
And Herc spent at least $10 less. I could do the math and figure it out for you.
Maybe more than that.
No, I don't think so. 20 and 21 is 41 plus 16 is 57.
The quarterbacks
went
for
$15.
$15 less?
$15 less. But, I mean, you can't argue with Madden's
running
backs. All
right, so let's hear out Madden's team, because I think you could probably pull off a good team with those three guys if things fall your way. Let's see if they fell that way for Peter.
I think it would fall your way doing this, knowing that you could get steals later. But
right.
this is an auction with cagey people that know what they're doing.
Yes.
So maybe it's harder to do in our auction. And I think his team reflects it. Rodgers, 16. McCoy, 36. AP, 26. Andre Williams, $4. Niall
what
Davis
a
for a dollar.
Was.
You don't think $4 is too much, or you think that's like on par for Andre Williams?
I think it's on par, but given the way that his team is, to get Andre Williams for $4 is good.
He picked up Bryce Brown for a dollar. Ahmad Bradshaw was the last nomination for a dollar. Julian Edelman, $5. He's the one that got Golden Tate for $4. Brandon LaFell for $1. Robert Woods for $1. Harry Douglas for $1. Antonio Gates is his tight end for $1. And then he's got a kicker and a D for $1 each. So real top heavy,
I mean,
and then
look,
after
Edelman and Tate are his two starting wide receivers?
Right,
and
it's a non-PPR.
Andre Williams or Harry Douglas.
Yeah.
You know what? I can't – I we're going to play this league out.
Yeah,
so I want to see what happens.
I think like and this is the other thing that happens when people spend big and you're down to dollar bids when everybody else still has money. You're going to nominate somebody that you think you can get. And somebody may take them for two. And that happened to Peter a couple of times, which is why you get frustrated. And so, like, he has Brandon LaFell. And I know you like Brandon LaFell as a sleeper, but you would take Anquan Boldin over Brandon LaFell.
I would.
Boldin didn't get picked up. So that's his first ad drop, most likely, is, he goes and gets Anquan Boldin, makes his receiving, or Robert Woods. He drops one of those two guys. He picks up Boldin. I'm sure there's probably a handful of guys that we could sit here and like Jonathan Grimes, that was the day that Andre Brown was cut. But somebody like that, you know, those type of situations are going to arise. Maybe somebody did an auction or a draft a couple weeks ago. Like you took Ronnie Hillman for a dollar. That's somebody you would cut Bryce Brown for easily is Ronnie Hillman. Mm-hmm, you know, something along those lines that he could probably do. Like he has Nile Davis. He can maybe make a trade to the Jamal Charles owner now and say, hey, here, cover yourself just in case. Give me your third receiver or, you know, make a package of some sort. So, yeah. You know, that's the type of moves he's going to have to make.
Okay, my team, you mentioned I have Ronnie Hillman. To be honest with you, I think that was the best buy I made.
It might be.
All day, Ronnie Hillman for $1. And if I had to have
gone Brady
three,
for $4, that's pretty good.
Yeah. If I had to have gone three on Hillman, I would have. And that's because I spent biggest on Monte Ball, $22 on him. So I knew I had to get Hillman, and I nominated Hillman. And look, if you're not familiar with it, if there's 12 of you in the draft or in the auction, you only get to nominate one out of every 12 players. It goes around. So you got to make that nomination count. I either nominate somebody I want really cheap, or I nominate somebody I have no interest in that's going to go for a lot of money. So I get a lot of money off the board.
Somebody else spends their money.
And I'm not going to be the one spending that guy.
It's funny you mentioned that because that was my second bid when you said, all right, Jamie, how much Marshawn Lynch?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, because
when I was going through, I wasn't picking it.
And that's why I actually nominated Vincent Jackson because I didn't want him.
Right.
And Dave took him for $8. And I was like, oh, actually, you know what? That's pretty damn good for Vincent Jackson.
I thought he was going to go more than that. I think I nominated Foles, too.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
And you did it early on.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Tom Brady for $4. Monte Ball for $22. Stephen Ridley for $8. Brandon Marshall for $18. Cordarrelle Patterson for $9. And Pierre Garçon for $8. So those three are going to be my two receivers in flex. Jordan Reed for $4, Cardinals and Matt Bryant for $1 each. And then on the bench, I got Hillman, Steven Jackson for $2, Lamar Miller for $5, Reggie Bush for $9. Reggie Bush, I put Ridley in my starting lineup for $8. Reggie Bush is probably my number two back to start the year.
Sure.
I have James White as well, so I have two Patriots running backs and two Broncos running backs, and Ben Roethlisberger for $1. I only have three wide receivers on the team. They are Marshall, Patterson, and Garçon. I believe strongly in Cordarrelle Patterson. I think I'll be able to get away with that at least for a while. And I like the team.
This is the best team you've put together so far. you did a really good job with
Thanks.
This. And it's your first football auction, right?
I think it's my second.
First one you've done with us.
I didn't do one with you guys 2 years ago?
Maybe.
If I did, it might have just been a mock. It's not the first time I've done an auction. Maybe it's the first time I'm playing.
No, but this is the best of the drafts we've done. And you did a good job with the PPR one, too, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But this team is, in my opinion, you're the front runner right now.
Really?
I certainly have the teams I know off the top of my head.
What do you think about my team?
I think it's really good, too. You just the good depth at running back is there. Stud wide receivers that you're never going to sit. Very good quarterback in Brady. I think your team's ready to dominate.
And it's like you said, you know, you have Patterson as your flex. You could have Ridley as your flex if he gets off to a good start.
Yeah.
Lamar Miller could be your flex if he gets off to a good start.
Yeah,
there's
going to
be a stretch where you have Steven Jackson probably in your lineup. You did a really nice job.
It's strange that I don't know, how much did No'Shawn go for? He went for $3.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up with $4 left unspent, and I felt like I could have gone for No'Shawn, which would have given me 8 running backs, but it would have given me 2 Broncos, 2 Patriots, and 2 Dolphins, so I felt like if I had done that by week 4 or whatever, I probably would have had a really good feel for who to start and how good they were. But instead, I spent that last roster spot on a backup for Brady. Because if Gronkowski doesn't work out for the Patriots, I think Brady could be
what he was last
year. Yeah, a very average.
Sure, that's the fear.
I think you have to back up Brady. I don't think he's in the breeze, Stafford. I don't think he's in that top 4. I wouldn't back up Ryan either. But
do you think that you could have maybe gotten by with Tannehill or Bradford or I'm trying to think. I know Russell Wilson.
But I only spent $1 on Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but those guys would have been $1. And what I'm getting at is with that $5. The dollar for Roethlisberger and the 4 you left been better, well spent on Marino.
Well, no, because then I wouldn't have a backup quarterback.
But that's my point: is that you could pick up Tannehill or Bradford
or
somebody off waivers.
I could see it happening at the end of the year, but right now my honest evaluation is that Roethlisberger is a much better, significantly better fantasy option than those other guys. I felt it was worth it, but that's a good point. And the last thing, I just want to reiterate the thing about the tiers. If you decide, you know, to overspend, it's probably going to be at the end or like the second to last guy in a tier. Because if you don't spend money, but you end up completely left out of a tier at a position, then not spending the money doesn't really do you any good. Like, you have to spend money to get – if you say, I need a tier one or a tier two running back, okay, you bite the bullet and you got to spend. Mm-hmm. But if you sit that whole entire tier out, then it doesn't really help to save that money. So I feel like that's when you got to make sure you don't leave money on the board.
What number was Lacey, running back?
As far as nominations go? Now you're putting me on the spot, right, and I'm all nervous.
He wasn't later, but I mean, he's 36 in.
39.
39th player or running back?
Player.
But a lot of the elite running backs are gone by then.
Right. When was Ball?
Monte was 33rd.
And Murray was early, right?
58th was Murray.
Okay. So I guess by that point when I'd spent on Lacey, I didn't have the opportunity. I wasn't going to go Lacey and Murray.
Yeah. Well, Lacey, people kind of put – it's almost like there's a top four, and then there's Lacey in his own tier. That's kind of the impression I'm getting.
So no, I put him in the top tier for standard.
Would?
Yes.
Okay. Then he's a top tier. Like he's ahead
he's
of Murray
best,
and
but he's in that
Bell
group.
And all those guys. Let's do some emails, shall we? All right. From Hector, should I draft Gronk in the early third round and back him up with Reed or Pitta, and draft Kaepernick and back him up with RG3 or Wilson? This is possible in my 12-team IDP league.
I think it's going to take too much in terms of draft value to back up Gronk with Reed and Pitta. I'd look a little lower. Look at Ladarius Green, Antonio Gates maybe is a decent one. This isn't something you have to do. In fact, scratch Gates. Green, Eric Ebron, Charles Clay, someone with a lot of upside in case Gronk gets hurt. That's the move I would do with that.
The only way I would draft Reed or Pitta that early is if you could play them as a flex. Because then it gives you the option. If these two guys do pop off, like at least I expect them to, they're going to be in the same discussion as third and fourth tier running backs and third and fourth tier receivers.
And I'm fine with Kaepernick with Wilson.
Yep.
Eddie from Allentown. Dear best fantasy football their best fantasy podcast. Excuse me.
Doesn't even matter what sport it is.
Exactly. Nah, we're better than Scott now.
Well, it's really just I'm better on this one than I am on baseball.
That's just to compliment you?
Yeah. No. That's not what I meant.
Now, are we allowed to say that? Do other podcasts say best fantasy podcast?
Oh, Jamie, come on. Let it go.
I think Scott and Al say it.
Be like Frozen and just let it go.
What's the character's name? The princess?
Elsa?
Elsa?
You would know that, wouldn't you?
I have a funny picture to show you guys. I'll try to find it. In the meantime.
Do you know what job Elsa's not very good at?
What?
Balloon holder.
I don't get it. Balloon holder?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it, Dave?
No.
Never mind.
Here, check that out. Anyway, dear best fantasy podcast.
Man, he looks just like you.
Yeah, he does.
That's amazing.
Dave, was it the dog?
My nephew is the biggest Frozen fan, finally gets to see them, people dressed up as the Frozen characters.
Oh, and he cries?
Freaks out. Couldn't wait to get out of there. He's sitting on Elsa's lap and just freaking out right now.
What's the balloon joke?
Yeah, you'll have to explain later. I kept getting stuck with who to pick with my second and third pick in a keeper draft. I have the third overall pick, and Gio and Gronkowski are my keepers. So I'm going wide receiver and wide receiver with those two picks. Please rank your top three wide receivers out of this list. Johnson? I feel like that's got to be Andre, not Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
Garcon, Cruz, Jackson, White, Allen, Fitzgerald. Pick three.
I'm confused, though. This is his second and third round picks?
Second and third pick in a keeper draft. I guess so. He's going wide receiver. Johnson, Garcon,
yeah,
Cruz,
sure.
Jackson, White, Allen, Fitzgerald.
And then standard?
I don't know, so sure.
And Jackson is Vincent Jackson.
Sure.
Or Deshaun.
Probably Deshaun, based on
rank both Vincent and Deshaun?
This is confusing.
I would go Fitzgerald 1, Vincent Jackson 2, Andre Johnson 3, Pierre Garcon 4. Just in case Jackson is Deshaun, then you just wipe out Vincent Jackson.
Sure.
All right. Michael from Mukwanago, Wisconsin?
Sure. Don't look to me.
Dear Howard, Howard, and Fine.
Law offices?
I'm part of a unique scoring league where it's not only PPR, but points per completion. Peyton Manning obviously led the league last year with 959 points, nearly 200 points higher than the number three quarterback.
Thank you, points per completion.
Does this type of scoring change your idea on waiting on a quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't ignore it at that point.
Whenever you have these bonuses for quarterbacks, whatever they may be, yardage, completions, it bumps them up if the other positions don't have the same thing. It just is just natural.
Yeah. So
unless
so
it's then, 4 points for passing touchdowns, then it bumps them back into the same
range. Not even close. No, even with points per completion. That more than makes up for the 2 points they lose on a passing
touchdown. No, but then it more than balances it out, though. If they're getting the points per completion on top of 6 points for passing touchdown, it's astronomically ahead of everybody else.
All right, so when do you take Peyton Manning? When do you take Drew
Brees? First overall.
First three picks or quarterbacks?
I think you aim for quarterbacks a lot higher.
By the way, Howard
and you
Howard
definitely and draft a backup.
Our Three Stooges.
Oh.
They might be their last names, or they might be a bit they did. That I'm not sure about. Next email is from Jenny Butler.
Good job, DJ Milk.
Thanks. Jenny Butler from Columbus, Ohio.
Walking calendar.
I'm in a league with old friends that I've played with for many years. If I know the tendencies of the other drafters in my league, how should that affect my draft strategy? Should I jump in on the runs or zig when everyone else zags?
The latter.
Yep.
Well, I know your tendencies, obviously, and I know who you guys like, so that does help.
Sometimes. You also know our rankings because they're right there.
Yeah, we're kind of hard to make that. But I'll tell you, I'll give you a perfect example. We were coming back in the fourth round of this PPR draft that we just did, and I know we both needed a running back. I know there was one guy that was on the board that we both like in Trent Richardson. Mm-hmm. And so I knew if I didn't take him, there's no way I'm getting – and I was picking 10th, you were picking 12th.
Yeah, I was going to take him, right.
There's no way he's coming back to me. Whereas somebody else, like if it was Dave, and I don't remember who was on the board then, there was probably a very
taken,
good chance
right.
I would have gone a different direction and then gotten Richardson, taking the owner drafting between us out of the equation. But I would have waited taking Richardson in the second part of that.
Sorry.
Right. You knew you had to take him there.
Right.
Now, Jenny's extra credit here, contextual extra credit, is that it's a two-quarterback league, and she's saying that everyone drafts quarterbacks very early, and it's basically a touchdown-only league, 300 yards passing and 100 yards receiving or rushing get points, but otherwise it's touchdown only. So she wants to know, should I take quarterbacks early or should I let everyone else do it and load up at the other positions?
I think if you know historically that everybody's going to take a quarterback in the first round, let's say seven of the – is it 10-team league?
Doesn't say.
Let's say 7 of 10.
Jenny only has 9 friends, so okay. It's a 10-team league.
Seven of,
sure,
of the
I'll
10.
I'll be Jenny's friend.
now you're an 11-team league.
7 of the 10 take quarterbacks, and she's picking 8th, right?
Okay.
Yes,
so
sure.
So she has the opportunity to, let's say, get Matt Forte at 8.
Yeah.
You got to assume that maybe one or two other quarterbacks go in the second round. I would probably say I'm taking a quarterback in the second round and definitely a quarterback in the third round if I know the tendencies of my league.
Yeah. Okay, from John. Dear Dutch, Dylan, and Anna. Come on, guys.
Blanking.
I'm pretty sure I know this. The Anna one is throwing me off, but that's got to be Predator. Dutch and Dylan are...
characters, yeah.
What's are Anna? Carl Weathers and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Was that
Anna
the girl?
Might be the girl. I don't know. I'm in a PPR league, which boosts the value of wide receivers, but also 6 points per passing per touchdown and half point per completion. And negative half point for an incompletion. With adjustments to both positions and not running back, how far does this bump up Calvin and Manning?
Get to the chopper.
Get Dylan, you son of a... Yeah. So again, points are boosted for quarterbacks and wide receivers, but not running backs.
Come and get me.
How many net points was Peyton Manning worth last season? With this scoring system, maybe 150, maybe less. Curious.
What's that?
Peyton Manning in this scoring system last season.
I have no idea.
What was he worth?
He was like the most pumped up person ever.
Well, let's figure it out.
This is a confusing question, John.
Well, it's a unique scoring system because they'll penalize you. It's the completions that throw you off. So Peyton completed 450 passes, out of 659, which means he was off on 209 of his passes.
I've given up on this and start thinking.
So about it's 241 more completions than incompletions, which is equal to 120.5 fantasy points to his bottom line.
Vicky Valancourt would have to be the one to help me out with this.
I think there's something wrong with your medulla oblongata.
No, there's not. I think this bumps up quarterbacks just like it did in the previous question that we had.
Are we allowed to do it in movie impressions or is that against?
So, do you stop with that already?
What?
Just drop it.
What's wrong with what he's doing?
Vicky Valancourt.
Not the impression. The thing you keep bringing up. Just let it die already.
Vicky Valancourt would like to try some of my delicious H2O.
All right. Okay. I really want to go. I'm ready to go. I'm done here. Goodbye, everybody.
Look at this. You turned down his mic?
I turned his mic down. I can't do it anymore. It's been a really long day. And no, that's it.
I don't know.
I'm the only one that has a mic now. Everybody, thank you so much. Stop. Go away. And thank you for listening. Goodbye. Tomorrow we're doing PBR mock draft tomorrow.
Chad, what are you doing?
Just hit the space bar.
Don't hit the space bar.
PBR mock draft tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.